Turning your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the first chapter. Matthew, the first chapter. All right, Matthew, chapter 1. Last week we looked at the Luke account of Christmas. And today I want us to look at Matthew. Last week we talked about, are you ready for Christmas? This week I want to talk about surviving Christmas. So let's read the story from Matthew, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, reading down at verse 25. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. When Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth that firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, as you think about Christmas and surviving Christmas, you know, we got the hustle and the bustle and the traffic. And the other night I was going to a party and I had to take a white elephant gift. So I thought I would go to Hobby Lobby and literally buy a white elephant. And it was wall-to-wall people in there. You'd think it was Christmas. Of course, it is Christmas. But I found my elephant. I got all the way up to the front and I stood in line and I waited and waited. And all of a sudden I realized the elephant was broken. So I had to go back and get another elephant. And it had a chip on it. But we have problems at Christmas time. Traffic is bad. Shopping can be tremendous. And we're trying to get everything done so everything will be just right. But then a problem arises. I've got a friend that is about to get on an airplane in Arizona and fly back to Georgia. She had flown out to Arizona to visit with a couple of her daughters. And all of a sudden, yesterday, she sends me a text and she said, I've got a problem back home. And I said, what's the problem? And she would not tell me. She said, my son's flying in from Boston and I've got to get back and he won't tell me what the problem is. But it's a problem. I mean, we have problems sometimes, especially at Christmas. But guess what? We have problems all year long because there's problems and troubles that come our way. And God and Christmas problems can be a part of God's plan for whatever is about to come. There's four things I want us to look at Christmas time. Expect those troubles and those problems to come. They're going to come at Christmas. They're going to come at other times as well. And they come. Now, as we think about that, they can come any time during the year. It doesn't have to be at Christmas time. Sometimes those problems come at most inopportune times. But one of the sources of problems is something that we have no control over. Say a problem of losing a loved one, a problem of someone like, in my case, losing a spouse just a few months before Christmas. You know, after having 43 Christmases with Terry, this is a different Christmas. But I have no control over that. I cannot control that problem. And for some of you, this may be the first Christmas that you have without someone, a family member, a loved one. That's a problem we have no control over. But then there's other problems that come into play. Sometimes problems that are personal choices. Choices that we make that are personal, that change how things are perceived, how things are done. I'll give you an example. I know a young lady. She lives in Millen. She's in her late 20s. She's got the mind of basically about a 12-year-old. Last weekend, she ran off with a drug addict in Sardis. And I understand that this drug addict is pushing her with drugs. He's abusing her. And my thought is, do I go to the Sardis police and address that issue? Or is that going to make the problem worse? I don't know yet. Pray with me about that, what to do. But anyway, that's a personal choice that she's making that's creating a problem with her and her family. And her father and stepmother live in Millen, right next door to her. And her mother lives in Statesboro. I don't even know the mother. But then there's other people's choices. So similar to that situation there. Choices that other people make that create problems for others at Christmas time and other times of the year as well. But ultimately, the thing that's probably that causes the most problems could go all the way back to Adam and Eve when they sinned and they brought sin into the world, and all of us are sinners. And sometimes that creates problems for us if we don't handle that and take care of that problem. All of you know who Charles Stanley was. He was a pastor, I think, for about 40-something years in Atlanta, First Baptist Church. He's written a lot of books on radio, television. He's still on radio and television, even though he's passed away. They still show those reruns. But in one of his books, and I've read a number of his books, one of his books, he said, some things are so important to God that they are worth interrupting the happiness and the health of his children in order to get certain things done. Well, you know, we got to think about it. Whenever we have a problem that interferes with us, do we want to blame God, or do we want to say, God, show me what I can do to get around this or to solve this problem? Problems, trials, troubles, they're all going to come to us Christmas time and throughout the year. But I share one with you. When I was pastoring in Montana, and I was only there about a year and a half, there was another minister that had a position where he was over a bunch of churches, and he would work with those churches. And he said, John, I'm going to retire in a few years. Why don't I groom you and teach you how to do this? And that way, maybe you could step in and take this position when I retire in 2 or 3 years. I said, okay. So he began to groom me and to work with me. But situations happened in the church that forced me to resign. And I was questioning, why, God? Why would you do this? You were leading me down this path, and now this happens. But now I can look back and I can see that even though there was a problem and there was a trouble, there was a trial in the situation of my life, God was using that to prepare me, to shape me, to mold me, to get me ready, because later on I did, not there in Montana, but in Screven County, do the same position working with churches. But see, God had to shape me and mold me. But at the moment, I thought it was a problem. And it was a problem. But God was using that problem to shape and to mold me into what he wanted me to be. So at Christmas time, there's going to be some problems come. You may wake up tomorrow, hopefully not, but you may wake up tomorrow and have to go to the doctor and they say, I got bad news. I hope that doesn't happen to anyone here. You may wake up tomorrow and get a phone call and a loved one has passed away. That's a problem. But don't despair. Friday, I went to the funeral of a young lady that was been a friend of mine for a couple of years. And she was only 43 years old. And she had a lot of health problems. And on Tuesday, I got a text from another friend. And it said that her mother had gone in to check on her. She still lived at home. She was divorced. She lived at home. A beautiful young lady, Christian, fine Christian lady. And her mother found her. She'd had a heart attack and died. Now, at that funeral on Friday, neither of the pastors, there was two pastors from that particular church, neither of them knew this young lady because she didn't go to church there, but her father went there. She and her mother went to another church. And none of the pastors knew who she was. They had to look up on Facebook about her. That was kind of a problem in a sense because they didn't know who she was. Now, they did a great job. Don't get me wrong. They did a great job, but it's hard to preach a funeral for someone you absolutely don't know at all. But here was this young lady. This is a problem now for the mother and the father, that they've already lost two daughters, and they're in their 60s themselves. They've already lost two daughters to sickness. That's a problem at Christmas time, especially with Christmas just being a few days away. Well, the second thing that I want us to look at is at Christmas time, trust God's purpose. Trust God's purposes. God is always higher. He's always greater. He's always different. God doesn't just do things on a random. He didn't go, oh, hey, I think I'll send my son down there. No, God had already planned that from the beginning of time, that he was going to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Now, thousands of years took place in between. But God doesn't work on time. But God has a purpose, and we need to trust his purposes. You see, God was working in ways Joseph did not see. He was working in ways that Joseph did not understand. You know, as we read there in those verses, it says, then Joseph, her husband, verse 19, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, that wasn't God's purpose. But we have to trust God's purpose. Because God's purpose is always correct. It's always the best. Nothing happens to us that God doesn't know about. You have a wreck. And you go, God, why'd you let me be in this wreck? God already knew you was going to be in a wreck. But he had a reason why, and we don't know. Nothing happens that God has not allowed. Now, a good example of this is in the book of Job. You remember Job was a righteous man, and Satan comes before God, and he's ridiculing Job, and he asks all these questions, and we'll preach on that one day. But God says, you can do whatever you want, but I will not allow you to kill him. God, everything comes under God. He allows things to happen to us, to shape us. And then nothing happens that God cannot see. God knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. It'd be nice if we knew what was going to happen tomorrow. It'd be nice if we knew when we're driving down the road, there's going to be a deer step out in front of us and we can already come to a stop before we get to it. It'd be nice to know that, but we don't. We don't know what's going to happen, but God does. God knows everything. He is all knowing. And so he knows what's going to happen to us. Now, another point that I'd make here is at Christmas, we need to focus on Jesus. In verses 21 to 23, it said, and she bringing forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this is done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall bring forth a child and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So as we think about that, focusing on Jesus, that's what Christmas is about. That's what a nativity reminds us, to focus on Jesus. The Christmas tree with all the Christian elements, symbols on it, remind us of Jesus, of who he is. It's not a story about Joseph. It's not a story about Mary. It's not a story about the angels. It's not a story about the shepherds. It's not a story about the wise men. It's a story about Jesus. As the angel had proclaimed, behold, I bring you good news. What's the best Christmas that you've ever had? If you think about that a moment, I want to share with you the best Christmas that I think I have ever had in my life. A number of years ago, I was pastor of a church in Columbus, Georgia, and we had three deacons. And we did something kind of unusual one year. We found three different families that were really poor. We went through defects and found these families, and they were kind of already pre-screened for us. We found these families, And each deacon was in charge of a family, and I would help them. And one particular family, the deacon that I was helping was named Clark Maddox. And we went to this housing project, a slum housing project. It was a black woman, a single black woman with two children. We sat down, we told her, we said, we'd like to help you have a Merry Christmas and to celebrate Christmas better. And we want to ask you some questions. What can we do to help you have a Merry Christmas? What can we do for your kids? And she said, well, my little daughter, she would like a doll, but I can't afford a doll. I'm just too poor. And she needs some, you know, she needs some gloves and she needs some a jacket. And I just can't afford that. What about your son? Well, he would like a bicycle, but there ain't no way I can buy a bicycle for my son. I just don't have that kind of money. And that, you know, if we can just get him some socks and some underwear, that'll be fine. What about you? I don't want anything. All I need is just, you know, to make my kids happy. And we said, okay, we'll set a certain date and we will come back to you. Before Christmas, it was like gave us several weeks ahead of time before that. And when we went back, we had a pickup truck with a cover on it. And Clark and I walked in and we had a couple of bags in each hand and some boxes. And the lady was, oh, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. I said, we ain't through, lady. We got a whole pickup truck to unload. And we unloaded a brand new bicycle and we unloaded a brand new doll and we had all those clothes that she requested. We had a turkey that was already thawed out, ready to be cooked. We had a ham. We had other groceries. And she started crying and she said, why are you doing this? You don't know me. I'm black. You're white. There's no way I could even come to your church. I don't even have a car. Why are you doing this? And we said, because we want you to have a Merry Christmas and to celebrate Jesus. And we witnessed to her. We gave her a Bible. She was already a Christian. And she cried and she said, I can't thank you enough. Why would you do this? Because Jesus loves us and he loves you and we want you to have a Merry Christmas. That might be something we can't, it's too late to do it this year. We might can do that next year where we pick out a family or two and we do whatever we can to make their Christmas a Merry Christmas. When Clark and I walked out of that apartment complex, we got back in the truck. He had tears coming down his eyes. I had tears in my eyes just like I do now. And he said, if I never, ever get another Christmas present, I've just had the best Christmas I've ever had in my life. And I said, I have too. Because we're making the focus on Jesus and not on us. The other day, I was talking to a young lady. And she's got two, three kids, I think it is. And I said, well, you got all your kids their presents for Christmas? And she said, well, fortunately, they didn't ask for a lot. But, yeah, I do have all of that. And we'll meet at my house. And we'll have a great Christmas with my family coming in. And, you know, even then, I shared with her, Christmas is about Jesus. You know, focus on Jesus. You see, Jesus means God is salvation. Emmanuel means God with us. So as we think about Christmas, let's focus on Jesus. If we're going to survive Christmas, we've got to focus on Jesus. And we'll get through it. And then the last thing is, at Christmas, we got to obey God. Verse 24 and 25, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took him to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, he obeyed. Now, when Joseph first heard the news that Mary was pregnant, he had planned, I'll just put her away. Now, what he could have done, legally could have done, he could have dragged her out into the street of Nazareth and said, this woman whom I'm supposed to marry is pregnant, and I'm not the father. And guess what? They would have stoned her because of adultery. He could have done something when he said he wanted to put her away privately. He didn't mean he wanted to kill her. It meant that he was going to take her away somewhere, where probably another city where nobody would know who she was, and just leave her alone. Maybe she would have to lie and say her husband died or something. Or maybe he would take her to another city that wasn't a Jewish city, and they didn't care. You know, back in those days, when a woman got pregnant and she didn't have a husband, that was bad news. Nowadays, it's common. I mean, you hear it all the time. But back then, it brought forth death if you were a Jew, because that was against God's laws. So Joseph was going to just dispose of her, get rid of her in a nice way without publicly humiliating her. But he was obedient to what God told him to do through the angel. Now, he probably had all kinds of questions, no doubt. And God's command was clear. But Joseph's obedience was clear. But that's the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to be obedient and obey God. Now, as we observe obedience, it doesn't require understanding. You know, Joseph probably had plenty of questions. Why? How? Where? What? I mean, he probably had all these questions because, you know, back then, and even in one sense of the word today, that's a miracle that only God could do. Bringing forth a child from a woman of a virgin that had not known a man. Now, yes, there's scientific ways to do that today, but back then, that was totally unheard of. It's not optional to be obedient. We have to be obedient to God. It's not private. He wanted to put her away privately, yet his obedience to God, along with the ridicule, would be on full display. That's one reason why when they left Nazareth, they went to Bethlehem. And the scripture tells us they didn't go back to Nazareth right then because, you know, there was going to be the ridicule. You know, people added it up. You know, wait a minute, y'all haven't been married that long. You know, you got all those questions that come about and people begin to ridicule. But a Christian writer once said, spiritual maturity is caring less and less about what people think about you and more about what God thinks about you. And I've come to learn that as very important in my life. I don't care what other people think about me. I care about what He thinks about me. And that's what each one of us should care about, is what does God think about you? Not what other people think about you, but what does God think about you? And sometimes that's hard to do because we still have those feelings. What are people saying? What are people thinking about me? But Joseph, he heard the angel and he was obedient and he took Mary. Now they were, you know, it says they were betrothed. That means they were engaged. But nowadays, an engagement, you can break an engagement off. But in that day and time, you didn't just, okay, I don't want to get married to you. It was a whole lot different story back then. So he was betrothed or engaged, if we put it in a more modern word, to Mary. He takes her as his wife, but he doesn't know her in a sexual way until after the baby is born. And so, if we're going to survive Christmas, there's going to be some troubles. There's going to be some trials that come. We have to trust God's purposes and His plan for our life. And we have to focus on Jesus, and we have to be obedient. Now, we will survive Christmas. After Christmas, you know, when the bills start coming in, you will survive. But just focus on Jesus. Obey Him and follow Him, and He'll guide you through. He'll make it easy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You again for Christmas. Thank You for the story from Matthew. And Lord, as we fellowship in a few moments together, let us be focusing on Jesus, even in our fellowship time together. And Lord, on Christmas, whether it's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or whenever we celebrate with our families, may our focus primarily be upon the birth of Jesus Christ. and thank you. Let us be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.